Well, there's a speech in the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel that's one of the most startling speeches Jesus ever gave. He talks about disturbing signs in the sky, the sun and the planets and the stars. He talks about the powers being shaken. He talks about tumult on the earth and political institutions being shaken. And he says, men will die of fright in anticipation of what is to come. Well, it's kind of startling and shocking language. In Jesus' own time, people would have been somewhat familiar with this kind of talk because it harkened back to the book of the prophet Daniel. Daniel, too, described this destruction of the cosmos, this tumult on the earth that presages the end of all things. What you see in both Jesus and Daniel is a kind of reversal of Eden. So go back to the beginning of the Bible, and you see that God gently creates all things. He places the sun, the moon, the stars in the heavens. He puts our first parents in this peaceful paradise. Everything is in its proper order. Well, it's as though at the end of all things, the order of Eden is undone. Everything comes apart. Well, this kind of literature has beguiled, fascinated, sometimes terrified people up and down the centuries. And today you can see a real fascination with it among both believers and non-believers. Look at a movie like 2012 that I talked about recently, a movie like Independence Day, and then look at the very popular series of novels called Left Behind, all about the rapture, the Battle of Armageddon, the end of all things. These have sold tens of millions of copies. So people are captivated, they're fascinated by this end of the world or apocalyptic literature. Well, what are Catholics to make of it? And how do we appropriate this language? Well, I would suggest it might be wise to go back to that funny little word I just used, apocalyptic. If you ask most people, what does that mean, apocalyptic? They probably say it means, well, having to do with the end of the world. Well, that's not really its original meaning or its basic meaning. The word is derived from the Greek word apokalypsis, and kalypsis in Greek means a veil. So apokalypsis means unveiling. That's why when they rendered that word in Latin, it came out as revelatio, same idea, taking the veil away. So apocalyptic literature unveils something. It reveals something that is usually hidden. But what is it? I think it's this. It unveils for us what's usually hidden, namely how fleeting and passing and evanescent are all the things of this world. Think of both Daniel and Jesus. They, as it were, speed up or they compress time so that we can see even now what will inevitably take place in regard to all of nature and all of politics. The destruction of all things is, as it were, built into this world. Think for a second. You look at the beautiful sunset and we are amazed by it. Well, in a few minutes, it's gone. Think of all the plants and flowers that have ever sprung up on the earth and for a short time were beguiled by their beauty. Then they pass away. Think of all the animals who've ever roamed the face of the earth, who are now roaming the face of the earth, displaying all their power, all their grace and beauty. Well, they're around for at most a few years, then they fade away. Most disturbingly, of course, we fade away. We exist, as the psalmist said, for 70 years, 80 for those who are strong. Our lives are over like a sigh. So it goes with these human bodies of ours. And not only is it true of particular things in the world, but our cosmologists now know something that the Bible people didn't know, that the cosmos as such will fall apart. We talk about the Big Bang that creates all things, then the Big Crunch, where everything sort of falls back into non-being. So the world, the natural world, is an unstable, fleeting, evanescent world. And then apocalyptic literature also talks about the shaking of political and cultural institutions. Well, they're dead right, of course, about that. All of our institutions, even the most beautiful, the most lasting, the most enduring, eventually crumble. If you had asked a Italian aristocrat in the second century, how long will the Roman Empire last? He probably would have said, forever. There was nothing more stable seeming than the Roman Empire. If you had suggested to an English gentleman in 1900 that by the end of the 20th century, England would be a second-rate power. It would have lost its empire. He wouldn't have believed you. How strong and stable, powerful the British Empire seemed. And to be fair, if you asked an American now, how long will the American Empire last? Well, he might be tempted to say, it'll last forever. Well, of course, our empire, our nation will collapse, as they all have. All political and cultural institutions come and they go. The problem is, this fact is usually veiled to us, which is precisely why we tend to rest our lives in these things. We take as our ultimate good natural realities, cultural realities, and we say, I'm going to rest my life here. Apocalyptic literature unveils that. It unmasks it. It shows you the true nature of things. Don't rest your life on them as though they are your ultimate goods. Now, apocalyptic literature is shocking to that degree, disturbing to that degree, but it doesn't just leave us in a lurch. Both Daniel and Jesus say, at the destruction of all things, there will emerge, coming on the clouds in all his glory, the Son of Man. Well, of course, that's Jesus himself, who comes into this evanescent, shaking, indefinite world, but comes bearing the very eternal power of God. If Jesus were simply one more philosopher among many, one more politician or social theorist among many, well, the heck with him. He'd be just as shaken, just as compromised as they. But he comes precisely as the bearer of the divine presence. And so he's unveiling to us this truth. Rest your life there. Rest your life in that eternal power of God. That's why apocalyptic literature unveils for us the deepest truth about the world, the deepest truth about Christ, and thereby allows us to live in a rightly ordered way. So the message of this literature is clear. Don't panic when all the things of this world are shaken. Rather, rest your life in the Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are the apocalyptic people to whom these great truths have been unveiled.